The Bible reading is taken from Acts chapter 9, reading verses 36 to 42. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, then got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented them to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Can we pray? Lord, we just give this time to you, and may my words be your words, and may your name be glorified. Amen. Thank you, Eva, for the reading. I didn't know what to speak about this morning. I've known for quite a few weeks that I had to come and be assessed, and there was nothing on the rota then, so I didn't know what anybody else was speaking about before this. And I don't really know why this reading came out, but it did. But it sort of gave me lots of questions to ask. And the first question I asked was, how can I follow Terry's sermon last week? So I've got my visual aid. Terry had loads, so you just keep that in the background. And really, that's what's been underpinning all the sermons over the last few weeks. Terry's was about love and encouragement and forgiveness. Tom spoke last week at 9 o'clock about forgiveness, and Trevor's been talking about blessings. And that's what it's all about. And I think we have to remember, love, it's a good thing to have. And if you think about it, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul actually says, if I have no love, all I do is make a noise. So think about love. And obviously everybody knows what today is, so I don't have to ask. But I hope certain people got nice presents. Leanne, I hope John got you something nice. He didn't. Well, it's his birthday on Wednesday, isn't it? So forget about it. But another question is, and you'll all know the answer to this, do you know what colour today is? Yes, it's purple. See, just coincidence. When I was thinking about saints, and I thought, what do we know about saints? And obviously there's the northern saints like Bede and Cuthbert, and obviously in the Bible we know all about Paul. But saints don't seem to be comfortable people to be around. And if you think about Cuthbert, he was a hermit and he lived in a cave. And Paul seems to be very strict. He didn't have time for time wasters. But if you think about where he came from, he'd actually persecuted Christians. And he was there when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was stoned. But then he met Jesus, and that totally transformed him. It changed his life upside down, and the right way around for him. And if you think about the early church as well, they thought Jesus was coming back soon, so they had to get out there and tell as many people as possible about him before he came back. So you can see why he was in a hurry. But at the same time, he knew he couldn't do it all himself. He encouraged people. He took people on his missionary journeys. He wrote letters. We've still got some of them in the New Testament, all the epistles to the different churches. So he was spreading the gospel, but he was also encouraging. And I don't know of any saints personally, and it's not really a common term, but we usually hear about heroes, and they're usually called unsung heroes, but it's somebody who goes the extra mile. And I actually got a box of heroes for Christmas, and I looked in them, and it just looked like chocolate to me. I was going to ask Eva to try them out, but she was snowed in, so I had to try it myself either, and that's all they were, chocolate. I don't know how they got chocolate heroes, but never mind. So what makes a hero? It's somebody who inspires us. Not that we want to be like them, but that they encourage us. And at the 9 o'clock, I actually mentioned Doreen Lowe, who a lot of you know from the 9 o'clock. And I've known Doreen for quite a few years, and I got to know her through, she did Pathfinders, and my kids went to Pathfinders when I first started coming to church. And she's got a quiet faith, but she's quite a determined person. And I don't know how many years ago it is now since she retired, but she's never retired. She does victim support. And even through this illness, her cancer, she's still very, very positive and very determined. Her faith keeps her going. And she is inspiring. I mean, she's in our Bible study group, and she comes out with some real gems. She really thinks about things. And she actually pulled me to one side at the end of the 9 o'clock and said, the first time she ever did Pathfinders, this was the reading that she spoke about. Wow. So it was right to do it. So in today's reading, we've got two people. We've got Tabitha and we've got Peter. And I've been on the internet and I've looked at commentaries, and we don't really know much about Tabitha except her name, that she was a disciple and that she was always doing good. And if you think about it, there was no social security then. The church fed the widows because it was part of their duty, but it seems as if that was it. But she could see a need more than that. She could see that they needed clothing, and that's something she could do. She could sew, so that's what she did. And Jesus tells us we have to feed and clothe the poor. And it's interesting that she's named in the Bible, because often it's just a woman at the well or a blind beggar. But this gives us her name, and it makes it real, because people reading this would say, I knew her. She was my friend's cousin, or she lived up the street from me mum. So it's a real story. It's not just hearsay that you think, is it true, is it not? This is a real story. But the thing is, in Joppa, everybody knew her. She was God's love in action. And what a witness for the church and the community. And she didn't just make any old clothes. They were lovingly made. And our friends showed them to Peter when he came, because they were so pleased with her. She went the extra mile. And I got to thinking about it, and sort of what happened when she was doing it, because there was no sewing machines in those days. And knowing what women are like, I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of widows didn't come and say, I can't afford to pay you. Can I help you to make clothes for others? And she would get a little sewing circle going. And you know what women are like, talking through their problems and where the bargains are. And I know what we're like at the Women's Fellowship, where talk always goes down to faith and church. And I think that's what they did. They would gossip the gospel. And a while ago, when Tom preached, he said that over 70% of people come to faith through friendship rather than hearing a preacher. And Tabitha wasn't up front preaching, but she was sharing the good news in her lifestyle. She inspired others. And one comment I wrote down was, what men teach in high places, such women as Tabitha illustrate in their lives. And we know she wasn't a church leader, she wasn't a prophet, she wasn't a preacher. She was just an ordinary woman doing an ordinary thing till something extraordinary happened. She died and she was raised back to life. But why? What made her so special to God? There must have been other people doing good things, but why was she so special? She led a good life, and she loved the Lord, and she helped the poor. And I begin to wonder, was it a wake-up call to the church leaders to stop talking about it and actually get out there and do it? Now we come to Peter. And this Peter now seems a different person. Obviously, he's got the Holy Spirit. Whereas beforehand, he acted and spoke without thinking. Now he's called a leader who served the people, and he responds to their call. And in this passage, he was actually in a nearby town where he just healed a man. And obviously Tabitha's friends had heard about it. And they knew that she needed a doctor. She didn't need a doctor, sorry. She needed a healer. And this was evidence in their faith in the power of the risen Christ. And it was interesting that Peter came to Joppa to preach to the Gentiles. Because in the Old Testament, Jonah went to Joppa to avoid speaking to the Gentiles. Peter obeyed God and Jonah didn't. Jonah got caught up in the wind and the storm when he was on the boat with the sailors, and it was frightening. But Peter experienced the wind of the Spirit, which brought him peace and joy. But why did Peter come with Tabitha's friends? Did he have a divine revelation? Was the Holy Spirit prompting him? I think he was praying as he travelled. If the first thing he does when he gets to the house is he empties the room and then he gets down on his knees and prays to God. This isn't about Peter. This isn't a public display. It's about Peter listening to God. And if we remember in Mark chapter 5, Peter was actually with Jesus when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. So he'd seen Jesus in action. He knew what Jesus did. But here, he prays first before he says, Tabitha, arise. And that's all it took, two words. He didn't have to go on and on and on, two words. But I think the work here was in the prayer beforehand. That was the important thing, the prayer. The words were the easy bit. It was God who did the healing, and he was asking God's will what to do, and then he was obedient. And it was all about glorifying God. It wasn't about himself. And it's the power of God who raised Tabitha from the dead. She couldn't exercise any faith. She was dead. But from this miracle, Peter was asked to stay there in Joppa and preach. And this was very important because then he could ground new believers in the truth of the word. Because if they just believed in miracles, their faith would be nothing. So here we have two people, both disciples, both followers of Christ, both using their gifts because of their love for Jesus. And out of that love, they shared it with others. They lived their faith. It wasn't empty words. They inspired others, and I hope it inspired you. And another question for you. Who are you inspiring or encouraging? Who are you going the extra mile for? And after communion, will you take a sweet in the bowl there, and you can keep it for yourself, you can give it to your Valentine, you can give it to somebody else as a blessing or a thank you for encouraging you. Eva, I've got your big bag in me bag. Couldn't get them in there. And I'd like to finish with this inspirational story from the internet. It's amazing what you find on the internet. Every time I go on, I find all these different things. And it's actually from the same site as the Blessed Be Your Name video that we watched first. And if anybody wants, I can give you the web address. I've actually shortened it because it takes about 10 minutes. There was a pastor at a church in London, and at the end of the service, a man says, "Can I share my testimony? I've just moved into this area a few weeks ago, but before that I was in Sydney on holiday visiting relatives." And he said, "I was walking down George Street, and this elderly white-haired man gave me a tract, asked me if I was saved, and if I died tonight, would I go to heaven?" And he said, all the way home on the flight to London, it just disturbed him. And he just kept going over it. So when he got home, he found a Christian friend that he knew who actually led him to Christ and told him, "You need to go to a church. Try this one in your area." So that's what he did. Anyway, a few weeks later, this pastor was at the Keswick Convention in the Lake District. And he told this story about this man. And at the end, four elderly pastors came up to him. And they told the same story, and they'd all been saved 25, 35 years ago. That's how long it had been for them. He went to the Caribbean, the convention for missionaries. He told a story, and another three missionaries got up and said, "That happened to me." He went to Atlanta, Georgia, for the Forces Chaplains Convention. Same thing happened. He went to North India, thousands of missionaries. And the same thing happened. All these people coming and seeing this old man in George Street, Sydney. So he was on the phone to his friend in Sydney and asked him if he knew this man. And he said, "Yes, it's Mr. Jenner." And he said, "I'd like to meet him." So he flew over and went to meet him. And the pastor says, "Oh, he's had to stop doing this just a few weeks ago. He's in his 80s now. He's in ill health. He can't do it." So they went to see him and they told him the story. And he said he was led to Christ 40 years previous. And he was so grateful for what God had done for him that he promised he would share Jesus in a simple witness every day. And he said over the years he'd had lots of rejections. People wouldn't take his leaflets. But he said a lot of people did. but this was the first time he'd ever heard of anybody accepting Christ as their saviour. And he was so overwhelmed, and the pastor said he'd worked it out roughly that at least 146,000 people had come to Christ because of him. All this man did was hand out tracts, and all Tabitha did was sow. Amen.